As an added benefit to reoccurring donors, we are sending out DCO face masks to any monthly contributors for 3 months or more at the $5 plus level. Please send your size preference, either large or youth or small size, along with membership email and mailing address to info@dcontario.org. And you can check out what they look like in the show notes.
This podcast was specifically created for Distress and Crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
Hello, this is Caitlin Plant, Program Manager for Distress and Crisis Ontario, and today I am joined by Eliza. Eliza is a young Haudenosaunee woman about to begin her third year of her undergrad at Wilfrid Laurier University in Brantford, with a double major in Human Rights and Indigenous Studies. She has kindly joined me today to discuss her personal experiences surrounding racism and to discuss how important she believes cultural intelligence to be, as well as sharing how these things have impacted her mental health. So Eliza, thank you for joining me today. To begin, could you please tell me a little bit about yourself?
For sure. So as you said, my name is Eliza. I am currently 19 years old, living at home as I attend university. I'm a part of the Seneca Nation Bear Clan. And I guess, like many others, I'm on a mental health journey as I've struggled with anxiety for the entirety of my life. But it wasn't until about a year and a half ago I was diagnosed with extreme generalized anxiety, depression, social anxiety, compulsive disorder, and yeah, I think it's really important just to note that even though it feels really awkward and like I'm kind of oversharing, but I think it's important to kind of break that stigma surrounding mental health. So other than that, I think I really like spending time with my family and friends and reading and writing and watching movies. I watch way too much movies and TV shows, but I guess that keeps things interesting though.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing that and for your honesty in your mental health journey. I think you are absolutely correct. The more that we talk about it, the easier it is for everyone to talk about it. And I really appreciate your openness. So let's get right into it. Have you had any experiences with racism that you were comfortable sharing with us?
Yes, I think I've definitely had more experiences than I guess ideal. So I went to secondary school and elementary school off of my home reserve. So they were both in like really, really small towns. It was not always the most diverse. I think there was a handful of other non-white students who attended. I think a specific example would be, I like to refer to it as like the big lacrosse debacle, because so I played for a girls box lacrosse team since I was in like grade 6 till about grade 10. And because lacrosse is obviously like connected to my Haudenosaunee culture, I decided to play for my home community, the Six Nations. But in a town about 15 minutes away from my high school and my elementary school, there's a little town that's a little bigger, and it was called Simcoe. And they wanted me to play for their team, which like makes sense. There was a lot of other students at my school who were playing for Simcoe. But I just made the choice because I wanted to play for like my home with my peers I normally wouldn't have gotten the chance to. And a lot of the kids I went to school with didn't really like that decision. And they were like trying to convince me to change teams and that I was going to be a different person after I was hanging out with all these natives. And even things like, they openly said like they wouldn't have to hurt me, but they will if they have to. And I was like, whoa, pump the brakes. I'm here to play for the sake of playing, because that's how I was taught. Lacrosse is meant to be the creator's game. We're meant to play with respect and never to try and intentionally hurt people, but they didn't really get it. So I think it really got messy kind of from there with my peers. And coincidentally, there was an event where we were at a tournament and my team and the Simcoe team stayed at the same hotel. And yeah, it almost started like an actual fight. But other than that, I think it was a really kind of interesting experience, because I think it kind of opened my eyes that even though I was friends with a lot of these people, like it still had effects as like racism, even though to me in the moment I was like, oh, they're just kind of mad I'm not playing for their team. But yeah, I think it was definitely racism.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry that you've had those experiences, and also even how you said that you've had more instances than are ideal. No instances is the ideal. And I think the fact that you felt like you needed to qualify that speaks volumes. And I just wanted to address that. So how have these experiences impacted you in your day-to-day life? I mean, you've already given us that one example from lacrosse, but just kind of how do these go hand in hand with the things that you shared about your mental health journey as well?
Yeah. Well, I think another big piece of it that personally I didn't even consider until like I sit down and think about this kind of thing, but is like the systemic part of it. Sometimes I would be sitting in classrooms where I was the only Indigenous person, and like have even teachers kind of turn and like ask me questions or like see if I wanted to answer like a fellow classmate's question even. Which is like, fine, I guess, but it's still like, I'm there to learn. So why do I have to be a resource kind of thing? Mm-hmm. And then I think it also becomes an issue with like my mental health, specifically with like getting in trouble, which sounds kind of weird. But so for example, I can go back and forth between the Canadian and US border with my Indian status card. But pretty much as soon as you show that you have a status card, and you try and use it to cross the border, a lot of border crossing guards get kind of a little more pressing with their questions, I guess is a good way to describe it. So I get really, really nervous, even though I'm not doing anything wrong, because I'm just traveling between countries for a border that technically doesn't exist for me as a Haudenosaunee person. But it definitely affects things. And same with if I were to use my status card for tax exempt when I'm like out at a store and the employees just like don't understand, which isn't their fault per se, but it definitely does have its impact with that as well.
Thank you for sharing those examples. So how do you think that gaining cultural intelligence plays a role in decreasing racism or just promoting diversity?
I think that cultural intelligence can help with that, in specifically because I think Canada really promotes itself as a multicultural like place and everyone's happy that there's so much diversity here. But I think when it comes down to it, if you were to ask an Indigenous person or a Black person or any other person of color, like they would maybe be a little hesitant to agree with that wholeheartedly. And I think it's also just like realizing that there are some Western kind of impact, Western cultural impacts that are here in terms of like, you need to look out for number one and you need to like do what you need to do for you to succeed, even if that means like stepping on other people. And I think that's really different from how I was raised and like in the in my cultural teachings, like I think you have to, in order to live like as a kind and genuine person, you aren't succeeding unless everyone around you is succeeding. So I think that really collectivity can promote that as well as like cultural intelligence, because if you don't know how to be empathetic, then I feel like we're not really going to get to a place where there is even less racism, because I don't know if completely like no racism is like a reasonable goal, but I think definitely less racism is reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right that we live in a very individualistic society, mm-hmm. where yes, I think looking out for number one is pushed on us a lot more than it should be. Yeah. And it's not healthy for anyone. But I think, yeah, it would be very challenging to have these competing ideas as you're growing up and hearing anything from kind of the greater world around you than you're learning at home. And that would be, yeah, a little bit hard to handle, I can imagine.
Yeah.
So what would you suggest to someone who would like to expand their cultural intelligence when it relates to Indigenous culture?
I would say that it's really important to not only listen and try to learn, but like actively listen and learn. Because I think a lot of people would like to just go to a couple talks and then say they're an ally. But I think it's really important that you listen to these very, very important and great talks, but then also like challenge your own thinking and even think about like the kind of things you would learn in grade 10 history class and what was in your textbook. Just start to question who wrote these textbooks and what was true and what isn't exactly true. And just think about that.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion to just kind of put that lens of, yeah, kind of colonialism over things, mm-hmm. put it bluntly. And how that's not always actually the case of things.
For sure.
So aside from that, are there any specific ways that you can think of that we can all become better allies for the Indigenous community?
I think just, again, like supporting Indigenous businesses is always a great way. I guess an example of this would be like Orange Shirt Day. There's like tons of things going on for Orange Shirt Day. But one of the less great things are some online companies are taking orange shirts and almost, I would say, stealing the designs and not donating their profits. They're just kind of like jumping on the bandwagon of support, if you can call it that. So I think just like making sure you are getting like things that are genuinely going to help survivors, for instance, but also just questioning things, I think, is good, because if you just accept the dominant narrative that Canada has kind of served to like everyone, not anyone in particular, but I think that's another thing to just be aware that the country wouldn't want to admit that they're violating human rights every single day, because no one's going to want to stay here if they know that Canada is openly not making safe drinkable water in so many communities for like years on years. So I think it's just important to realize that the things you've heard might not be completely true.
Yeah, always questioning. And I appreciate that, yeah, you called out that making sure that you're actually supporting the right cause, especially when it comes to things like Orange Shirt Day, because you're right, I've seen it too. It's companies kind of capitalizing on it, and that's not helping anybody. And as much as it might be easier to go with the first option that you find is by a company that you know, it's better to actually seek out an Indigenous business that's selling them where you know that the funds are going to go towards something helpful and not just into the pocket of this bigger company that really doesn't need that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to throw kind of an unplanned question at you just to ask if you have any resources that you could suggest for people that want to learn more, if we don't maybe know where to start to ask these questions.
Yeah. Well, I know there's quite a bit of like online content is kind of like booming right now, I guess is a good way to say it. There are like specific websites you can go to that will tell you even as simple as like what original land you're on, pretty much anywhere in North America. Like, I think it's just, you could just type in whose land am I on and it should come up. But also just like if you find Indigenous owned businesses, like they also have pretty good connections to resources because they get a lot of questions. I know my sister is, she's a beater and she like makes great, I gotta shout her out, but she makes really good stuff. And she also like posts some more informational stuff if people are wondering, like, would it be cultural appropriation for me to wear a beaded piece? But mm-hmm. no, because like if it's from an Indigenous person directly who's making this for you rather than you buying it from Urban Outfitters kind of thing, like sorry Urban Outfitters, but like that kind of thing, that's definitely not genuine, kind of personal. So I think other than just looking for resources like that, like I know TikTok, like there's so much content on there too that can like segue into other things that might be a little bit more official. But yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Go ahead and give your sister a shout out if people want to check her out.
Yeah, I think her Instagram is Delaney's Designs.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that you would like to add that we haven't already touched on today?
Yeah, I think just now that things are kind of coming to maybe September 30th, Orange Shirt Day being like a national kind of, I don't like to say holiday, but like a day to reflect. I think that's kind of important to see if there's any events you can go to or just like listen to, like a podcast like this is a really good idea. But yeah, just something like that that can kind of brighten the Indigenous voices and kind of highlight things. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's important when doing land acknowledgements specifically, like if your intention is to be genuine, like don't just like copy it word for word from where you've seen it, I guess. I think that's just something I like to always mention because for nothing specifically, but like, it's always just people wonder like what to do with land acknowledgements. So I think that's important to kind of point out as well.
Mm-hmm. What would you suggest as maybe a good place to start with a land acknowledgement?
I think just like getting down to the basics of whose land you're on and why you're acknowledging it, I guess, because like, it does seem like to be kind of the bare minimum, I guess, but like why to you and whatever you're doing, like why are you acknowledging it? Because everyone else is, or because you really want to show your respect and yeah.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Thank you so much for joining us today. This has been a really great experience. And yeah, we really appreciate you sharing your story and your perspective with us.
Thank you for having me. It was a really good time.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forums podcast. We are committed to providing the most current and up-to-date information. With your help, we can make it better. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress-and-crisis-ontario.com or by clicking the link in the show notes. And by donating, monthly contributors will be able to access a special podcast feed. In it, we'll have additional content and some more in-depth pieces on some of our most popular topics. Thank you.